Okay, good Erev Shabbos. It's Parshas Noso this week, and the topic of the Parshas of the Shir is Ruach Shtus, which translates as a foolish way of thinking that overcomes a person. And this is mentioned about actually the first sentence in the Parsha, but we'll go back to that later, because we're going to start with a different part of the Parsha. In another part of the Parsha, Perek Hei Pasuk Vav, it talks about the Korban Asham that one has to bring if they deny money that they possess that belongs to another person. And that's it's a Shuas Kfiras Mammon that the Chachamim explained, and if that happens, you have to bring a carbon, and you have to give on top of that a fifth back, and there's a whole procedure. But we'll just pay attention to the Lashon of the Pasuk, because it takes on a particular grammar that the Ora Chaim notes. So the Pasuk says, Dabril b'nei Yisrael, ish o isha, a man or woman, ki asu mikol chatos ha'adam, if they do from any of the sins between people, that's how the Ramban would probably translate it, we'll see that later, but they do from any of the sins, limo mal b'Hashem, to do a transgression by Hashem, v'oshmo hanefashahi, and that person will be guilty. Okay, so the Pasuk doesn't explain in detail what that is, but as we said, the Chachamim understand that this is talking about a particular trespass, a particular wrongdoing of swearing falsely regarding money that was owed. So the Or HaChaim focus is on the grammar. It doesn't say ma'al, that he did a transgression. It says lim o mal, he to do a violation. It is in future tense, which is a little bit puzzling because the person is doing the sin right now. One would presume that they swore falsely, not that they are doing something in the future. So the Or HaChaim explains it as follows. The Or HaChaim says that at the time that the person makes up in his head that he's going to deny the payment, deny the money that he owes, he owes money and he's denying it. So what happens right at that moment? Well, he's committed to a certain process, because the person is going to challenge him and say, what are you talking about? You know, you said you would pay me. And then he's going to have to swear. And he'll swear, and he'll swear falsely. So what actually is happening is, according to the Or HaChaim, the thought to transgress begins way earlier, way before the false shvua, because the person has to kind of resolve, he's not an idiot, if he's going to deny that he owes the person money, he's going to understand that that's going to carry all the way through to the ultimate point where he's going to go to Beis Din and he's going to swear. So the correct way to understand the pasuk then is Dabril b'nei Yisrael, right? If a person will be limo mal b'Hashem, if he was in a state of mind where he was setting out to do a wrongdoing, v'ashma nefeshahi, and then indeed he does make himself guilty, then he has to follow the prescribed ritual, the korban, and paying the additional fifth in order to get kapara. So that's the way the Or HaChaim learns. Now, we have another issue, which is what's the mikol chatos adam? What does it mean, from all the sins? This pasuk is talking about a very specific avera. It's talking about swearing falsely regarding money that is owed. It's not talking about all the sins. So what does it mean, mikol chatos adam? Like, it sounds like this would be an introduction to a discussion of the various korbanos that one brings if they do various averas. Mikol chatos adam, from all the sins of people. So that few words in the pasuk really throws us off the trail, and really doesn't sound like the way that Chazal are learning the pasuk in terms of the halakha. So the Ramban has a problem with this, obviously. And the Ramban gives a pashut pshat answer to try to explain how you understand these pesukim. And the Ramban says, "Mitam mikol chatos adam," and what's the reason for saying mikol chatos adam? "Kamo asher yasa adam mikol chatos lachto bahena mikol mashi yechta ish peish." He's saying it doesn't mean mikol chatos ha'adam, that all the sins that a man can do. He means all the sins of humans between one and another, all the foibles. So what are the foibles that people do to each other? Of course, they lie and they cheat. So the Ramban is saying that it doesn't mean mikol chatos adam, all the sins. It means from all the, let's say, human foibles of treachery and deceit and lying. Something along those lines is probably what the Ramban means in explaining the pasuk. However, I think that we could understand it a little bit differently. Going along the lines of what the Or HaChaim said, in a certain sense, this transgression already began before the person swore falsely, right? Because there was a distorted kind of thinking that the person had, which, however he was justifying it to himself or whatever his intentions were, why he thought that he could hold on to money that didn't belong to him, but his mentality was such that he felt that way. And so the distortion and the disconnection really began way before he actually did the Avera. And that's why it's lim omal, to do a transgression. So now we know, the Gemara in Kedushin and Mem Amar Aleph tells us, Machshava ra ena kosh baruch hu mitzarfa l'maisa. If you have a thought to do an Avera, Hashem does not count it as if you did the Avera. Okay, now that's, by the way, just as an aside, that has nothing to do with thinking forbidden sexual thoughts, because that maisa itself is an iser. It's not the same iser as doing gilui arayos, but it's its own iser, whether it's l'sasur achrei levavchem or what's the pasuk that you have to be careful, v'yizartem mikol devar ra, v'nishmartem mikol devar ra, whatever it is, whatever pasuk you use. The point is that the thought in that case is the Isser itself. So they're not talking about that when they say you're not liable for your thoughts, because that's a whole different issue. Nevertheless, one who thinks to do a sexual transgression, although they're violating the Isser of having a sexual thought, it's still not counted as if they did that sexual transgression. And one who thinks to steal, for example, or one who thinks to swear falsely, has not actually committed any sin at that point. Because that's not the same as a sexual thought. And so he hasn't committed any sin, really, at all. And the Gemara Kedushin says that Hashem does not count it as if you did anything bad. But let's understand, although technically it doesn't count like you did something bad, the kilkul, the distorted thinking and the problematic mental process is fully in gear, where the Avera now is only inevitable. The Avera is a taitzah, it's an outcome of the crazy thinking. So that really, even though it's true that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzarev machshava l'maisa, and for whatever reason, if the person wouldn't sin after having the thought, they wouldn't be held liable as if they did the sin. But nevertheless, it's the fact is that the thought process already is distorted, and they're going to come to the place to do it, and that's why it's lim ol mal. So getting back to the lashon of mikol chatos ha'adam, it's telling you, the pasuk is telling you a basic idea that any sin, whatever sin it is, involves lim ol mal. It involves the intention beforehand already to have some corruption, because it's the corruption, it's the corrupted thinking that leads to the avera. And that brings us to the Gemara in Sotan Gimel Amud Aleph, which darshins the beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of the parsha, the pasuk at the beginning of the parsha. Reish Lakish Omar, ain't Adam over avera. A person does not do an avera. Elam kein nichnas bo ruchtus, unless a faulty, and let's say a crazy, distorted thought comes to mind, right? And how do we know this? Because it says, Ish ish ki siste ishto. If a man's wife will stray. Okay? But the drasha is tishta, from shoita, from being foolish, that she will stray because she it entered into her crazy, you know, yetzahara. Now the pasuk pshat, right, in Reish Lakish is that it's saying that, you know, it's like a rationale, even a limud zchus. It's saying that a person really doesn't want to sin, and they're only sinning because something crazy got a hold of them. But the deeper pshat that I'm trying to say today is that it's not just that. It maybe it is a limud zchus also, and that's fine. why stop the Torah from giving a limud zchus on a person? But it's saying also that it's the crazy thinking that leads to the avera, and the avera really is only the ultimate effect of it. So that's really the point. And limol mal, and you know, and ein adam chote elon kein nichnas boi ruch shtos. Now, when you know how this relates to sobriety, of course, is that you know, the alcoholic says this already a long time, and they've been doing 12 steps much longer than anybody else has, which is that you lose your sobriety way before you pick up the first drink, because it's, you have to have some kind of crazy thinking that makes it acceptable for the person to even touch the drink or start drinking when they know how much it really is going to cause harm. So the point here is that it's the ruach shtus, it's the craziness in your head that leads you to do the avera. You can hold out for a while. Once you feel this terrible taiva, you can hold out for a minute, for an hour, for a week. Some people even much longer. That there's somebody I know that you know, had a terrible problem, and this person was working with me, and in his problem, he went through a period of 10 years, where he wasn't Moitzi Zera. However, he would constantly look at images, which is, on the one hand, you got to admire it. It's a pretty incredible feat of self-control. But on the other hand, it's what you would call a dry drunk, that he was engaging in all the addictive behavior, even though he was able to hold out. And by the way, parenthetically, you should know that the Erisurim is nothing, being Moshe's heir is an Isser, but Rav Moshe holds, and I'm not sure if anybody would argue with this, that just the act of self-stimulation without even being Motzi Zera is in effect another Isser, which Rav Moshe calls a Niyaf Yad, but it could be there are other Isserim. The point is that while being Motzi Zera is considered a terrible sin, it doesn't mean that before the person is Motzi Zera they're not sinning either. So anyway, it's an interesting piece. But the point is, a person can be a dry drunk, and a person can have all the crazy thoughts, and the crazy thoughts are the problem. The sin is just a final act. Now, what are the rationalizations? What are the rationalizations that people tell themselves, right? You know, they say all kinds of things, right? They say, well, you know, I need it. I mean, I just can't help myself. I mean, I need it, right? You know, people say, well, it's no big deal. Everyone, you know, does it. People say, well, I'll just do a little. They say, you know, I'll just look. That's all. I'll just look. What's the harm in looking? They say, I had a bad day, had a bad week, had a bad year, I had a bad life, right? And therefore, you know, God owes me. It's my wife's fault. You know, if she was nicer to me, I wouldn't need this. And I'm a special case. I'm a special case because, you know, if I was happily married like my friend, or I had a wife that was as pretty as my friend's wife, I would never do this. I'm single. I can't help myself. So all these all these rationalizations, while certainly they are terrible misnomers that people face, they are. But the fact is that they are rationalizations, and as the rationalizations start to take hold, that's where the person already is going to lose it. Then it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. The person could hold out a little while, the person could hold out a little longer, but they will not be able to be Omri B'Nisayon without correcting the thinking. And once the thinking goes, then everything else goes. And everything is connected. So, you know, the other part that we think to ourselves is, really, this is one aspect of our life, and well, there's other things that we do that are better, or it's not going to hurt us in any other way, but that's not really how the Torah feels about this. The Torah feels that there's something very corrupting and destructive, and I'm not big into fire and brimstone focus on punishments. We all know that Alpi Kabbalah, all kinds of catastrophic and cataclysmic things are mentioned about sexual sins, but I'm really not choosing to focus on that. However, I think the Torah is in touch with that there are very personal and destructive things that ultimately come from a person not being able to manage and moderate his sexual impulses properly. And everything is connected, and we can't compartmentalize. We can't leave it to one place. So it's interesting. Rashi, also in this week's Parsha, based on the Gemara in Brachas on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, where the question is, what's the connection between the Parsha of Sota and the Parsha beforehand? Because before the Parsha of Sota, it talks about Matnas Kahuna. So the Gemara in Brachas says, Rashi quotes it, Gemara in Brachas says, Imatama akev matnas akohen, if you don't give the proper matanas that are due to the kohen, the proper portions that you're supposed to set aside, chayecha, by your life, sheshistarach lovo etzlo, you're going to have to come to the kohen, lohavi lo as a sota, to bring your wife who's a sota. So there's some kind of mida connecting, mida being set up over here, and the Mefarshim really have a hard time trying to understand what this mida connecting mida. We understand the smichus, we understand the fact that the discussion and the mitzvahs of matnas kahuna precedes the discussion of sota, but what in the world is really the mida connecting mida here that they're describing? So if you look in the Kli Yakar, he develops a very interesting line of thought, which is that he says basically there's two things that make a person poor. It's brought down that if you hold back the matnas kuna, you're going to become poor. So you're gonna become poor. So that's a problem, obviously. And then there's also a Gemara in Sota and Dalamud Beis that says kol ba'al isha zona l'sot mavakash kikar lechem. Someone who engages with a prostitute is eventually going to be starving for a loaf of bread. So these two things bring poverty. So here's what he says. He says the wife of this guy who wasn't giving the matnas kuna notices that they become suddenly impoverished. There's a very frum sota. She knows all the halachas. So she notices that suddenly the family becomes rapidly impoverished, and she says to herself, listen, you know, there's such a thing as mazel. Some people have better parnassah, some people have worse parnassah, so we know that to a degree that's tully and mazel, but to suddenly lose your fortune, it has to be an onish. So she looks around, she says, must be my husband, you know, and my father taught me you have to always give matnas kahuna, so this, my husband my father taught me, you know, that you can't mess around with sexual matters, otherwise you're going to become impoverished. And then she says, well, if we're so impoverished, it must be my husband is fooling around. And then she says, well, if he's fooling around, why shouldn't I fool around? As the Gemara in Megillah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph has a very interesting quip, which says, Iyu Bukhari, the Iyu Babutzini. He likes pumpkins, and she likes melons, and she likes squash. So there's a pshat in that, and then there's a deeper pshat. But the pshat in the Gemara is saying, you know, this, each of them have their own sins. So it's in the deeper pshat, well, you'll just have to think about whether it's a colorful metaphor or not. But anyway, the point is that the The woman's saying to herself, he's not so I. He's being Mizana, and that's why we're impoverished, so why shouldn't I? And that's the connection, the Kliyaka says. The guy that doesn't give the Matnas Kahuna, his wife is going to become a Sota. But the truth is that while it's really very brilliant, it's pretty far from the Pasha Pshat. You know, it requires a woman to be pretty learned. We've got a very learned Sota here. And I think there's a simpler route. And again, this is about, you know, the manifestations of a person's behavior. Now, the Gemara Bava Metzia on the Testament Aleph says, Lolam Hyodam Zohir Bekvoid Ishto, a person should be careful with the honor of his wife, She'ain Bracha Metzui Besoch Besa Shal Odom El Bishvil Ishto, because a bracha only comes into the house through the wife. So in other words, you want to be careful to honor your wife and honor the people in your family, and hopefully Hashem will then grant you wealth. And V'hainu de'amr lehu Rava levenei Mechoza, that's why Rava told the people in Mechoza, O kirlin ashaychu, give your wives honor, kihechi detitz'aru, so you'll be wealthy. And now the Gemara also in Bava Metzia, on the same daf, says, Amr v'yuda le'oilum hi'odim zor betvua b'zor beso, person should be careful to make sure there's always ample produce in his house. She'ein mariva metzui b'zor beso shal adam, there is only a quarrel in a person's house, elal iskei tvua, only about produce. Meaning, if the people are hungry or feeling lacking, it's going to create a big problem with shalom bais. So this guy here is a cheapo. So we'll say, this fellow, he doesn't give matnas kahuna. So he probably is not either generous with his wife. He's not generous with his wife. Then there's katata, and there's disappointment and unhappiness. If there's disappointment and unhappiness, then that could lead to her becoming a sota because of her possibly, you know, acting out her resentments. So to make a long story short, what we're saying over here is that the mind frame of a person is important. In fact, in some ways, even though, like I said, we're only liable for the sin, we're not liable for the thought. Again, for those of you that are only joining this year now, that sexual matters are a different discussion. But in general, thought of an avera, you're not liable for. But the crazy thinking that leads to the avera is really where the problem is at. The ruach shtus is really where the problems come from. The avera is just the final nail in the coffin. But all along already, everything has become mekulkal. So, and really this is true in all aspects of our lives. So the man's wife becomes a sota. He wakes up one day and finds out that she's a sota. He's a fool. He's a fool because she didn't become a sota overnight. He had to neglect her. He had to create an environment in his home. Or maybe he was a mezana too, like we saw earlier. Iu bikori, vi bivutini. Whatever the case may be, he didn't wake up one day and discovered his wife at the sota. Maybe he did because he was stupid and his eyes were closed and his head was closed and his heart was closed. So he woke up one day, like someone wakes up one day and discovers his wife wants to divorce him. And I don't know what that's all about. Well, you know, no, you do know what that's about. So the point is that we need to pay attention to our thinking, and to correct distorted thinking early on. And then the nisyonos are really much, much less. But if the thinking is crazy, then the nisyonos are relentless. And when the nisyonos are relentless, it's just a matter of time. It's impossible to hold out. The trick is to go deep and go back into the thinking and understand how the thinking is corrupted. And that's the gift that the Torah is offering to begin with, in asking us to moderate our impulses and to keep ourselves in check. It's saying that you need to study and understand yourself, and you need to understand your thinking so that you have the proper mind frame, a generous mind frame, a patient mind frame, all the things that help a person be successful in every way in their life. Okay, so we're going to stop the shiur now and open up for questions. I'm just going to shut off the recording.